think of the whole year.
The whole year has passed so quickly. I remember meeting some of you at the airport on the day that you came. It's already time, ready, Pesach. And then things just move so quickly. How things go so quickly. But that's the way life is. I mentioned to you before that when I came back from summer vacation, and my Mashgiach at Neri Yisrael, David Kronglass, asked me, "Nu Kalman, wie ist gegangen in Zummer?" And I said, "Rebbe, is it given a Zegich? The summer went so quickly." And he said to me, "A Zegate, the ganze Leben." That's the way whole life is. It goes so quickly. And that was 50 years ago. That was 50 years ago. And I say, you know, interesting how it works as such. Anyway, we have a few things to talk about tonight because we don't speak until Yisrael when you get back after the Bein Hazmanim. We'll talk about Purim a little bit of context. The Jews are in the desert on the way to Har Sinai, and who comes? Amalek. And Amalek is an interesting person, an interesting group, a descendant of Esav. Asher korcha b'derech, Amalek comes and he gets you on the way. Normally people fight because it's maybe a religious war, it may be territorial, it may be because of to show prowess and strength. He reaches you on the derech. You're not even in your place where you want to live. It's not coming for territory. And who does he attack? You're going to read it this Shabbos. He goes after the weak people. He goes after the weak and cuts them down. And you're tired. You know, it's not that he's showing the might. You're tired and he cuts down the weak people. As a religious war, velo yor Elohim. There's no fear of God, no fear of me. Amalek comes off the rock to destroy the Klal Yisrael. And interestingly enough, this is his descendant, Haman, has that gene, so to speak. The bad gene. Haman's name is mentioned 54 times in the Megillah. We mentioned it last week. 54. Why 54? Because there are 54 sedras in the Torah. And Haman wanted, his major desire was to destroy the Jewish people. And we are the people of the book. We are the people of the 54 sedras. His name mentioned in the Megillah 54 times. Other reasons too, but I'm going on this reason at this time. Because he wanted to destroy the Am HaTorah. The Rambam says, interesting, at the very end of the Rambam on Megillah, there are only two prakim of Megillah put together with Chanukah. And he says, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim v'chol HaKesuvim Asivim Libotel L'Imos HaMashiach. All of the Neviim and the Sifrei Kodesh are going to be Botel when Mashiach comes, Chutz Mi Megillas Esther. And all the Yamim Tovim are going to become Botel except for Purim. So Megillas Esther is going to be the major Megillah, and Purim is going to be the major Chag, and it's not Shaykh that can be. Why? Because the Rambam himself says that the Torah that we have that the Torah that we have will never be changed. There can't be a change. There can't be a change in a letter, let alone a whole halacha, a whole mitzvah, not Shaykh. So what can the Rambam mean, and what can the Yerushalmi mean as well when we speak about the fact that Torah is going, that Purim emerges as the major yontiv, and everything else becomes bottle, and all the other svarim become bottle. How's it shaykh? So the one of the approaches is that every yontiv has a major part in common. Each of the Yamim Tovim emphasize Metzias Hashem. There is a God. And that God is involved in our lives. That's going to be Pesach time with Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's going to be Shavuos with the giving of the Torah. It's going to be Sukkos when we're in with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Yechidus for 40 years in the desert. That is clear. There is a God and He's involved in our lives. But when Mashiach comes, we don't need that part. Even after Mashiach comes, we are going to need the idea, certainly, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the idea of Shiva, of Kabbalah, the Torah, of course, and of course of the Emun of Klal Yisrael in the desert. However, Metzias Hashem, Hashgacha Pratis, we don't need those Yamim Tovim to teach us that. We have that already from Mashiach's coming, and that's going to be greater than anything. Nothing can compare and compete with that. But there's one thing that Purim has that nothing else has. And that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us b'nister. When things look gloomy and doomy, when we don't see Hashem at all through the whole thing, it's not going to end with a Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not going to end with Asera with the. It's not going to end with Marcus. It's all going to be, you don't see a Kadosh Baruch at all, and anything it does have and seems to be Bederech HaTeva, but a Kadosh Baruch is there 1,000% as well. That's Purim. The key of Purim is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us b'nister. And that's why, one of the reasons that we're so happy on Purim. Of course, we're happy to be alive, etc., etc. Because ain't simcha k'ataras asveikas. There's no greater simcha than when we don't have doubts. Where we're, you know, people wonder, things happen to us, doubts, is Hashem there? Is not? That's one of the reasons that we say, Hamakim, when a person is sitting shiva, we say, Hamakim yinachem eschem b'soch shara ve'elit yim shalem. Why do we use Hamakim, the place? Why don't we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu yinachem, Kutshabrich Hu yinachem, the Barayolim will be menachem. Why Hamakim? One of the reasons is because we want to emphasize to the person sitting shiva, that even at this terrible time when you don't see the Yad Hashem, so to speak, you don't see, but just know Hamakim, he's here with us. He's supporting us, seeing that we can handle everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over. And that's what Purim does. Purim, shows us that there is no Mikra. Look at the word in your mind. Mikra. Mem, Kuf, Resh, Hey. I'm not talking about Mikra, Mem, Kuf, Resh, Aleph, which means a Pasuk. Mem, Kuf, Resh, Hey. Which means a happening. But switch the letters around and you call that word Mem, Resh, Kuf, Mem, Kuf, Resh, Hey is Rak, Me Hashem. And that's what all is. There is no Mikra. It's only Rak, Me Hashem. And Megillas Esther is called Megillas Esther because it's Megala. It reveals the Seser, that which is hidden. Well, for 9 years, people didn't connect the dots from the third year of Achashverosh's reign, till the very end of what happens when we're fighting and we kill. 75,000 people are killed in hand-to-hand combat. It's not, you know, they're not shooting, it's not, it's not a B-22 or, dropping bombs and all this, or missiles. In the end of the Megillah, 75,000 of the enemy are killed, and another 800 in the city of Shushan. Whoa. It gives you an idea of the magnitude of the nest that occurred. And that's for sure. The name Purim. Purim means a girl, drawing lots. And why do we use that name? Because we show Hashem is in the lots. You figure, what's more random than you spin a wheel or whatever it is? And that's what you get. You get the day in Adar. You get a day in the 13th of Adar. We're going to kill them, etc. I mean, what does it have to do with it? Sure. Why do you think it fell on the day of Adar? And why do you think it fell on the 13th of Adar? And by the way, when was the girl drawn? The girl was drawn on the 13th of Nisan. Of Nisan. And Hashem gave us a whole year to prepare, to talk, to learning and tefillin, all that, for the day on the 13th of Adar that we would fight with them and kill them. And a lot of things can happen in that period of time. Hear it well. Be aware that Haman himself never lived to that battle time. Haman was killed on the second day of Pesach. We'll talk about it quickly later on. But we go ahead and we say Purim, Purim. Lots to show Hashem is in the middle of lots. That's like we wear costumes on Purim. What are you wearing costumes on Purim? It's not Halloween. This is not our thing. Chas v'sholem. Purim, masks is to show that what you see is not really necessarily what is. It's underneath. And who's underneath in our lives, so to speak, and on top and the sides, everywhere? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Purim story, so to speak. Hashem is in the Nister. He is going through everything in our lives. And that means from wealth to health to whatever it may be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Think of it for a minute. On the 13th, the the poor of Nissen, the poor is drawn, and the Melech gives permission to kill the Jews. Everything's moving very fast, and the Svarim are written, let's go, and Mordechai speaks to Esther, and by the 14th, they're already fasting. They're fasting for the 14th of Nisan, the 15th of Nisan, and the 16th of Nisan. And we know that the 15th of Nisan is what usually? Pesach. And it was Pesach then too, but they didn't keep a Seder. They were fasting that year. And the 16th was the day at night where Haman was killed, because there were two parties. And Esther ate at neither of them. She invites Achashverosh over with Haman. She goes to see Achashverosh on the 14th. And he says, you know, what do you want? I'd like you to come. I'd like you to come to our party with Haman. Okay, it's a whole story in itself. And they come. And she says, well, I'd like to do it. Come again. And that was the 16th, second day of Pesach. And at that point, when Charvona says, yes, there is a tree. There is a tree. It's a gallows, 50 amos high. It's 100 feet high. Haman ended up on that. So it's an interesting thing. Most people think, for some reason, that Haman died Purim time. His kids did. 10 of them. Some say, according to Reb Schwab, they took his body out and then they hanged his body. They hung his body at that time together with them. All right, the point, they went his skeleton or whatever was there. However, he died Pesach time, and that's an important thing for us to know. When you look at the Haggadah, doesn't have to the Megillah. You see, it's clear. Let me talk for a minute about Chai Vinish Lipsumi Ad Lo Yoda. Interesting thing. Of all mitzvahs on this day Purim, a Purim day, which, by the way, think of it for a moment. Purim, Kabbalah Satorah, Be'ava, the destruction of Amalek, a salvation of our lives. There's so much in it. And we're supposed to, become drunk on Purim. So first of all, one has to be careful with that. There is a Gemara on Daf Zayin and Megillah that says that Rabbah and Reb Zeira had a meal together. Those of us who finished Megillah, looking around, are quite familiar with that. And Rabbah shechted Reb Zeira. Ay, ay, ay. All the Mephoshim ask, how can it be Rabbah shechted Reb Zeira? So the Marshal clearly says he didn't. He just forced him to drink a lot till he almost died because of all that he drank. And that's why when the Gemara says that Rabbah was mispal, he came back to life, it means that he nursed him. He was merapahim. And then he asked him, what about next year? Would you like to come? He says, not every year does God make miracles. Okay. So therefore, he didn't want to go through the same thing again. But it was enough, drinking too much. From there, some of the Rishonim learned that's a raya from the Gemara, don't drink. But the others say, what do you mean don't drink then if that's so? So why was he afraid to go back next year? Okay, so you have a lot of mechlekes about it. One thing's for certain. The Ramah, Rav Moshe Israelis, was a very, very observant person too. And he said, listen, you can take a little drinking and you can take a little bit more than you normally do and go to sleep. Then you won't know the difference between Orah Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And you take the Shai Tzion, he says that Orah Haman is the gematria of 502. Baruch Mordechai is the gematria of 502. So when a person has drunk enough so that he is, he's tipsy a little bit and he can't do the mathematics, it's enough. You yaitza. I want to tell you a personal story. You will not find this anywhere in any of the Sfarim as such, but I give it to you for a particular reason. There was a person in a yeshiva in Ne'er Yisrael that I attended who, about age 16 or so, he wanted to mekayim the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yada. So what happens? He goes ahead and he drinks a pint of Pikesville liquor. Pikesville liquor is the type of stuff that probably people make in a bathroom, in a bathtub, and stuff like this. He's like, that guy, listen, what does he know about drinking? Down and passes out. Dances and passes out. Next morning he wakes up on the floor with on a mattress. What happened in between, so he's told, that he passed out. His friends took him upstairs because he didn't have any control over himself. He was out for the count. And they put him on a bed. I can just imagine. And his head hits a radiator, which was flush with the bed. All of a sudden, he's bleeding. Quick, get him to the hospital, whatever it has to him. And they dropped him down a flight of stairs, or two stairs, on the second floor. Ha-ha! And then, so that to the hospital, back next day, back in the yeshiva, etc. And then, he hears an interesting thing. he hears that a person who drinks, you know, a large amount, could, God forbid, have cardiac arrest. It's like an alcohol poison. It could cause his heart to stop. You know, so that's what happens sometimes when people do overdrink. Now, how do I know about this? Because it happened to me. I'm the guy. 16 years old. And thank God, you know, that I'm still here talking about it. Why do I mention it to you? Because handle with care. Handle with care. You know, did I ever imagine? I did nothing. It's not like, you know, he did this, he went crazy. He just said, no, Garnish, just not in control. When you're not in control of yourself, God forbid, who knows what can happen. But it's, as I is this, I want to switch from Purim to Pesach for a moment, okay? Pesach, the Pesach Seder is a holy meal. It's a holy meal. It's between two Hallels. Where do you ever have a meal in between Hallels? Can you imagine? Let's next Rosh Chodesh in Eor, because we won't be here for Nissan. We say to the Rosh Yeshiva, please just wait a minute, okay? Quick, we're going to have a meal. They're bringing the pizza in the middle of Hallel. First, two prakim, then we're going to, you know, and then we eat two sifim, and then we're going to eat a meal. That's not the way it works. But this Pesach does. It emphasizes the importance of the meal, the Divrei Torah, the Lashon Tov that is there. It's fantastic. One of the first things that we say is Holach Moanya. This is the bread of affliction, the poor bread, the bread that we speak about. Onim Acharav Sha'achalu Av Hasana. Our elders ate in the land of Egypt. Now, it's a beautiful thing because we emphasize the importance of our elders. It's true. Youth is wonderful. Those of us who are older were there too. But the fact is, the elders, and we see, Rosh Steinman says, 800, a million people show. You have, okay, 800,000 show. Where do you get such a thing? You know, in less than a week's time. He's the elder. He speaks. The Pnei Hador, whatever it may be. This is where we put the emphasis. I heard this story and told this over in front of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, the son of Yaakov Kamenetsky. So I know it's an Emes Zach. You know, I don't like to tell you stories. There's like even the story about the guy who fell down in Nei Yisrael. I knew that was true. That at least for the best that they told me. How do you know it's true? I just have, you know. But I know that's at least I tell you the story the way I heard it. I was too embarrassed afterwards to go around and say, tell me and give me more information. But go back to this. So here's the story. Maisa Shaya Kachaya. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is a Chatzar Livrocha, is on a plane, and he's sitting next to a person from the Knesset, and I believe it's Knesset. If not, he's from Mapam. You get the idea. That fellow opens his hairy chest, no tie, all open here, and he sits with Rav Yaakov, and they're fine. And while Rav Yaakov is there, a young man and young woman come over to ask him, you know, does the Rosh Yeshiva need, he would like to change over the slippers, would he need anything? And he, Rav Yaakov, you know, is very friendly, it's wonderful, they take care of him. And the man says, are these your attendants? He says, no, they're my grandchildren. Your grandchildren? He says, I rarely see my grandchildren. And they certainly don't behave that way to me. How do you do it? So he, Rav Yaakov, said, listen, of course, there are many aspects to it, but he said, when my grandchildren look at me, they see me as a generation closer to Matan Torah, closer to our Masorah. Your grandchildren see you as a generation closer to the monkeys and to, you know, the evolutionary process. So there alone is such is a major difference in the way we're the our Hanhaga over here. Can you imagine? Here we say, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. Can you imagine somebody saying, this is the banana that our forefathers ate when they were swinging through the trees? You know, it's not, you know, of course you have to build relationships with love. I know that. Maybe the fellow, you know, don't misunderstand. I mean, I get these ideas. The relationships are not just made on this. But this is a key idea that we should know. Let me go quickly to another idea, because you have to see, you should be very prepared for Divrei Torah at your Seder. You may want to use some of this, but the fact is, you take your Haggadahs, get moving on it, so those of us who are still not, because you have to really hold, you know, infuse the Seder. The four sons. The four sons can be 90 years old, 70 years old, they can be daughters, they can be whatever age. But the fact is, it's a very interesting thing. As a matter of fact, they used to say there was a fourth son, then there became a fifth son. He was the one who didn't show up at the Seder at all, fifth. And then, a sixth son. He is the one who is the son of that son who now brings his father back to the Seder. And it's happening. It's no shaila. It's happening. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem, it's happening. You know, I've seen a lot in the years that I've been around. I've seen many of these sons. Some came to our Seder. You know, our son, my own son, Simcha Yehuda, you know, he knows and met many of them. So what happens? There's a in Parshas Bo, which is the 15th of the 54 Parshas. We've mentioned this before. So 15th of the 54 Parshas, the Russia, in this order, the Misha'en Yonel Yodei and the Tam, they all show up. In the third, the Chacham is not there. He's not in Parshas Bo. The Chacham is in Parshas Voeschanan. He's in Parshas Voeschanan. So the question is like this, and it's a beautiful thing just to think about. Where is he? How come he's not with the rest? The rest are over here. Parshas Bo, number 15. Voeschanan is in Voeschanan is the 45th parsha. So here it goes. The chilmik between the Chochem and the others, understandably, is this amount. They're here. And here is the Chochem. That's why he's a Chochem. That's why when the Tom asks his question, Mazos, he wants to know. Mazos, but he doesn't really have too deep of a question. The Chochem asked the same thing. That's a question. That's depth. And you know, the Gemara in Ksuba says, Derechu, ha'hoylich lebei rav. This is a bei rav. Base manager. Ha'hoylich lebei rav, nase odom gong. There's a chazaka, a person, you, who come to a bei rav, you are become talmid chachamim. Major, major ideas. You have this opportunity, and Baruch Hashem, I see it before my very eyes. Of many of you who Baruch Hashem this year alone have made a huge quantum leaps. It's a beautiful thing. Just know the power that we have. Ha'hoylech lebei rav, nasi adam gadol. The last and the Haggadah, and then I want to go into something else, is Rabban Gamliel. He says, Mishlo Omer, Shlosh Devar Me'el, Lo Yasi Dechavaso, Pesach Matzamara. These are the three things you have to say at the Seder. If you don't, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Pesach Matzah Marah. Listen, if you were writing the Haggadah, you wouldn't put Marah last. It might be Maror Pesach Matzah, Maror Matzah Pesach, whatever it is. But Maror would probably be on the top. Now I know it says Al Matzah Shemrorim Yochlu. You should eat the Pesach together with Matzah and Maror. According to that, you're going according to the Pesach, no problem. But the general way of people think is, Maror, they suffered before anything. That should be first. And now they're free at last. Baruch Hashem. So we say, the key is, no, we want Maror at the end. Why at the end? To show that the Iker of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt, was not, this is not Spartacus freeing the slaves. It's not Abe Lincoln freeing the blacks. No, no, no. That's not it. It's the kesher that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. From that time on, we had a spiritual kesher with Hashem. That's a kesher that we took to us through the Spanish Inquisition. It took us through the pogroms. It took us through the concentration camps. It takes it through personal illness and whatever it is. Listen, I remember the last Seder I had in Atlanta. My wife, Aleha Hashalom, and I were alone, Pesach. She asked the four questions weeks before she was Nifteris. And we sat there together, and we understand the whole thing and with all the difficulties and everything that went through our lives at that time. But we were free people because why? We had a kesher with Hashem. And even though she passed away a short while later, she had a kesher with Hashem that was you couldn't break it. That's it. That's why we bedafka put Maror at the end. To say that's not the Iker. Of course we're happy that we're free and slaves too. But that's not the end. And that's not the main thing. That's why it's at the end. It's not the main thing. The main thing is the spiritual kesher that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a major, major idea. Now we went through Purim. I feel bad a little bit speaking to you the way I did about drinking. But I'm not a killjoy, but just be very careful. And remember the Ramah, and see, fine. Okay. Ben Asmanim. I tell you, there's no greater opportunity to be Mekad Hashem Shemayim than Ben Asmanim. No greater. What an opportunity, especially, and to be able to shovel in mitzvahs. Why? Because other people are not learning. So when we go home, we go ahead, and I'm here. I'm also going home. We see to it. Home means here for me. The home means here for everybody. But that is, you're going to go visit your parents. Or, the fact is this, that most of the people are not learning. So there's a huge amount of siyata d'shmaya that comes into the world. So bein asmanim of any zman is major, because you get like this. You get a huge amount more. You get what was there for other people. We get. And that's the same other. It's the same thing on Friday afternoon. It's the same thing on Purim day. It's the same thing Shavuos. Even any time or ever, even on Yom Kippur time, to chaperein and learning, because other people are not. The siyata d'shmaya is there, and therefore, wow, what I'm able to get! What an opportunity! So you get that chelik of siyata d'shmaya too. It starts on the airplane of being Mekad Hashem Shemayim. My son Simcha Yehuda told me that he was on a plane. He saw two guys on the plane, and they wouldn't eat the same food, you know, that was on the plane. They didn't go for the heksher. But when they were sitting and looking at the, you know, at the screen in front of them, and with all the violence and the other things that I don't want to mention in the base medrash per se, then he says, "Hey guys," he says, "you know, I understand you're not eating the food, but you're eating, you know, the other garbage. So like, what's going on?" They didn't think about it. Didn't chop. All right. You know, I didn't ask you if they shut it off or not. Well, it's not a chilek at all. But that's the fact at all. We have an opportunity when people see us being careful about all these things. What a Kiddush Hashem. There's no question about it. What a Kiddush Hashem when we see our parents and we ask them, "How can I help you? How can I help you for Pesach? How can I..." And your mother hears these golden words, whatever it is, and she hears them over and over during the period of time there. "How can I help? What can I do?" And you're there. This is Kiddush Hashem. When the Rav, who has to be soivel, all these difficulties that come up, and he sees that you give him a good Shalom Aleichem, and that you sit, if he learns in between Mincha and Marav, you don't just walk out on him and stuff like that, as if to say, "What do you know? My Rebbe in Yeshiva can learn circles around you," in some situation, whatever it is. Kiddush Hashem is there that we are making. There's no Shaila, and opportunity to learn with people in the community. Not just kids, adults. There are people there who don't know as well as you do. When you went away, maybe you were on a different level. But just realize this. When people look at you now, I feel a kot natar beinecha. Who am I? What am I? Listen, I know. But, Rosh Shivtei Yisrael, people expect, you know, he was been in Eretz Yisrael for 6 months. Wow, this is it, you know? He's all Rosh, you know, Rashke Bahag. Now, you know it's not so, but that's not the point. When we go, they watch us come in for minyan, they watch us come in for learning, and if we can reach out and help them, whoa, what a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to do. My father, Rebbe Shalom, sent me to Nei Yisrael, yeshiva I was going to, but Nei Yisrael, because a young man, Mendel Bernstein, Zocher L'Tov, gave a short drush in between, you know, Shalashudis one day, and whoa, boy, that was really something. So therefore, I wanted to go there to that yeshiva, sure, because he saw... You don't know what type of influence you may be able to have, and that's for sure. Now, I suggest have a Dvar Torah with you that you could use for many different occasions. You have to do preparation too. Prepare yourself before you go so you have a few ideas that you can be able to share easily, so you don't have to say, okay, you got the idea. The sof is, and I end with this, is that we say, Matov Aleha Yaakov Mishkan Osech Yisrael. That's who said those words? We start off in the morning in Davni, even before Adon Olam with that. And who said those words? Bilam said those words. Why does the Torah begin? Why is the Siddur, begin with the words of a Rasha? If you want to say something nice about Klal Yisrael, so get the words, Mikam Chol Yisrael Goy Echad Boretz. Why do you have to look at the words of a Rasha? And one of the Pshatim is, heard by Mordechai Kamenetsky, is that Bilam said those words when he looked at the Jewish camp and he saw there was tznius, there was a huge amount of tznius amongst the people there. And therefore, and even as much as he hated us, he was impressed. And that came out. So you see that even a Bilam, when he sees you, can be impressed. Madach kal v'chomer benosh, ben benosh kal v'chomer. When other people watch us, they draw certain feelings also and certain conclusions. People, the reason that it's written that way in the beginning of the Seder is to say, remember, in the very beginning of the morning, even before Adon Olam, remember, people are watching you. And I tell you, that's for sure. People are looking at you so specially, especially when you come back from Eretz Yisrael. And what an opportunity we have for Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, when we drive, when we walk, when the supermarket, we're in shul, everywhere. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us to do that and enjoy the Yontif and enjoy with your parents and make...